We thank you, Lord, that in Christ we have the forgiveness of sin. You paid the sin debt, as Brother Ron pointed out this morning. That's the truth. And, Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God and the Word of God might find lodging in our hearts and lives, and you would encourage us to examine ourselves and make sure that we have accepted the payment that you made for our sins on the cross. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Mitch. There is an organization in our country today called the Debt Collective. And it is one of the main driving forces behind a movement to cancel college student debt. It costs tens of thousands of dollars to attend college and university today. And the main reasons that students want college debt canceled is because they believe that they should not have to pay to learn about the world that they live in. And then on top of that, the education they're getting, many of them are finding out that it's not getting them what they thought they were getting. In other words, many students after college are having buyer's remorse. The worldly education they went in debt to receive did not produce the life that they expected. And so the Debt Collective denies that these students even owe a debt. They're demanding forgiveness of that debt, and they believe that a free education is deserved. Well, if you think about it, that it is actually a rather arrogant way to think about forgiveness. Because nothing is free. Nothing is free. School buildings cost money. Administration costs money. Teachers and curriculum cost money. And somebody has to pay. Somebody ultimately has to pay. And demanding or denial and thinking that one deserves forgiveness is not really the best way to seek nor receive it. Because in the end, someone else ultimately has to pay. Well, in our passage today, the proper way to seek forgiveness is a lesson that Jesus is going to teach a particular Pharisee named Simon. Simon the Pharisee invites Jesus to his home for a banquet. Now, the Pharisees as a whole were opposed to Jesus. So one might wonder, is this some kind of a trap, or is Simon the Pharisee sincerely wanting to know more about Jesus? We don't know. All we know here is that he did indeed invite him to this banquet. And we know that the Pharisees were some of the Jewish leaders of the day who were in denial of their sin. They were in denial of their sin debt. They believed they deserved God's forgiveness and even demanded it through religious ceremonies and traditions. And therefore, they had a very arrogant view of forgiveness. And it's that arrogance that's going to be countered in our passage today. It is that arrogant view of forgiveness that is corrected really through the acts of one woman we're going to see, who properly sought and responded to sin's forgiveness. And so our subject this morning is seeking sin's forgiveness. That's really the main theme that we find in our passage this morning. Seeking sin's forgiveness. And there are really four features, I'll call them. Four features of our story that really paint a proper picture of forgiveness. And here's the first one. Our subject is seeking sin's forgiveness. Here's the first feature that paints a proper picture of that. The woman of sin. Okay? The first feature of our story here is this woman of sin. And if you have your Bible open, look at verses 36 through 39 again. It says, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil." Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." Now, we are not told directly what her sin was. However, the simple fact that she is identified here as a sinner tells us that her sin was public. Everybody seemed to know. All right, it was obvious. Whatever her pattern of sin was, it was no secret. And historically, that term sinner, when used of a woman, was used of prostitutes. So it is highly likely that is exactly what she was. But here she is now. This woman whom everybody knows her sinful reputation, and she's coming to see Jesus. Howard Stern is perhaps known as one of the most vulgar and offensive media personalities of recent history. There was, it seemed, nothing too offensive for him to say or do right on the radio, even right on television, and for everybody to witness. He crossed many moral lines right in front of the eyes of the world. But imagine he walked through our doors this morning. Pretty much everyone here would know him. You'd probably recognize him. Pretty much everyone would know his history. And perhaps some of us might say, "What's he doing here? Why is he here? How could River Valley Bible Church let him come in and sit amongst us? Don't they know who he is, what he's done?" But then imagine that in the middle of the service, as he heard the word of God, he became convicted of his sin, convicted of his offensiveness, convicted of his vulgarity, and he began to break down in inaudible sobs, fell down even prostrate on the ground, and just laid there and wept. What might that demonstrate to us? Perhaps a change of heart. Perhaps a change of mind. Perhaps conviction and humility. Well, that is a similar situation to what we're actually finding in our passage here this morning. And what it shows us is this woman, she wanted Jesus' help. This woman wanted Jesus' help. She came to him. She sought him out. Now, just prior to this event, the Gospel of Matthew actually tells us that Jesus had been preaching about the burden of sin. And he said this. This is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. He said, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for your sin-burdened souls. Perhaps she heard him say that. Perhaps the burden of her sin at this point in time became completely and utterly overwhelming. So as she heard about this banquet that Jesus would be attending, she did it. She came to him. This woman wanted Jesus' help, and this woman wept over her sin. As Jesus reclined at the table with feet folded behind him, she came up and stood there, weeping, probably over her own ugly burden of sin in her life, perhaps over the hurt and the damage that her life of sin had done, not only to her, but to her family, certainly to God. Perhaps thinking back to a time in her childhood when life was innocent and pure and wondering, how did I get here? How did I get to where I am right now? And Jesus reminded her of the innocence that she used to enjoy. And now here she is, coming to him and weeping over her sin, tears falling on his feet, and perhaps even embarrassed that she had wept on his feet, then stooped down and dried his feet with her own hair. Okay? And in that moment of raw and pure and open humility, this woman worshiped the Lord. She worshiped him. She kissed his feet. She also had with her some fragrant oil and anointed Jesus' feet with the oil. That makes me believe that this was planned, very planned. She had heard what Jesus said earlier. She believed it, and now she was coming to worship him. And with Jesus' offer to remove that sin burden, she came the best way and worshiped him really the best way she knew how. She gave Jesus something of value, perhaps the most valuable thing she thought she had, this perfume, this oil. Little did she know that the most valuable thing she really had was her life and her love. And the most reasonable sacrifice, the best sacrifice that she could offer was to give that life and that love to Jesus right here and right now. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul, speaking really to us, says in light of what Christ offers, in light of what Christ has done for you, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, your spiritual act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This woman worshiped the Lord. And this woman actually wrought a pattern. Perhaps because of her demonstration of worship right here and right now, we actually see a few other women in Scripture who will do to Jesus a similar thing. This woman wrought a pattern, and this woman of sin is the first feature of seeking sin's forgiveness. Here's the second. The weight she cast. Look at verses 39 through 43 again. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, Teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to pay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one he forgave more. And Jesus said to him, you have rightly judged. You've heard the saying, I'm sure, I killed two birds with one stone. Not these birds back here. I like those birds. But really, it's an idiom. There are people here with the last name Bird, for those that don't know. Okay. It's an idiom that means I was able to accomplish two goals with one action. And that really is what we find in what Jesus says here. Simon says to himself, in his own thoughts, if Jesus was really a prophet, he would know that this woman is a big-time sinner who should not be associated with. And then Jesus answers his thoughts to not only demonstrate that he is indeed who he claims to be, for he read the thoughts of Simon, but also addresses that big-time sin issue. For this woman, she carried a heavy sin debt. And Jesus knew that. So he illustrates it with this parable about two men that are in debt. One owed about 2 months' wages, the other about 2 years' worth of wages. But he forgave them both. And understandably, the one who owed the most expressed the most thanks. Well, this woman had done some ugly things in her life. She carried a very heavy sin debt. And this woman craved that debt be forgiven. And so when Jesus came and offered, come to me and let me take that burden. Let me take that burden from you. She came to give it to him. Now debt is debt. Sin is sin. It's all ugly. It's all heavy. Even the very least, as we might say, the least of sins puts us in debt and actually disqualifies us from a life that can honor God. It disqualifies us from an eternal relationship with our God who made us. So all sin, big or small, it all needs God's forgiveness. But certainly those who are relieved of those greatest burdens are oftentimes those who are most grateful. And rightly so. Rightly so. This woman carried a heavy sin debt. This woman craved that debt be forgiven. And this woman conveyed her love to the only one who could give it. According to Jesus' parable here, her love was not so that she would be forgiven. Her love was because Jesus could and would forgive. She loved him because he first loved her. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrates his own love toward us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isaiah 53:6 tells us that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. 1 Peter 2:24 says that he bore our sins in his own body on that tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 John 4:19 says we love him because he first loved us. This woman, she carried a heavy sin debt. She craved that debt be forgiven. She conveyed her love to the only one who could give it. And then the third feature of seeking forgiveness is the way she loved. The way she loved. Verses 44 through 46. Then he, Jesus, turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Here's another idiom that might fit this passage. He, and I'm speaking of the Pharisee Simon, he didn't realize the gravity of the situation. You've heard that idiom before? He didn't realize the gravity of the situation. And that idiom speaks of someone taking a light-hearted or even willfully ignorant approach to something that is really very, very serious. Comedian Gilbert Gottfried, only 2 weeks after the September 11th attacks, told this joke in a public arena. He said, I had to catch a flight to California, but couldn't get a direct flight. They had to stop at the Empire State Building first. Needless to say, now even 21 years later, that is still not funny. It's still not funny. And not surprisingly, when he told the joke, people were angry. He obviously did not recognize the gravity of the situation. Better put, he ignored the gravity of the situation. Well, that word gravity not only speaks of a heavy burden, which is what our passage is talking about here, but it speaks of a life or death situation, which is what our passage is talking about. And that is what Jesus is telling Simon here. After speaking about the weight of sin's debt, Jesus turns and, looking at this woman, begins to describe her as compared to him, as compared to Simon. If you, Simon, would have acknowledged your sin debt and the forgiveness that can only come through me as I've been preaching, you would have done what she did. Can you imagine the love that she must have felt from her Lord as Jesus looked her in the eye and spoke about the love that she had just conveyed to him? What a moment. What a moment this would have been. What do we learn here about the way she loved Jesus? Well, she loved through humility. What a humble thing that she did here. Rather than denying she owed a debt, she humbled herself before the Lord. She recognized and acknowledged her unworthiness of forgiveness. It was customary to provide dinner guests with a foot wash before the dinner. We're talking dirty, dusty roads and sandals. It's a bad combination. Simon did not offer that. But the woman used her own tears and her own hair to wash the feet of her Lord. That was an extremely humble act of love. She loved through humility. She loved through hospitality. A kiss on the cheek was a customary greeting for any dinner guest. Simon didn't greet Jesus with a kiss, but this woman expressed her love for the Lord by kissing his feet. She wanted Jesus to feel welcome in her life. That is hospitality. And then she loved through honor. She knew that sin's forgiveness was not something she deserved. It was not something that she could earn. It was not something that she could demand, but rather honored her Lord by anointing his feet with a fragrant oil because he was willing to give forgiveness freely. Verse 42, part of the parable, says, and when they had nothing in which to repay, he freely forgave. And of course, Jesus is here using that parable as an illustration of himself. And as a result, she loved through humility, through hospitality, through honor. Ephesians 5:2 tells us to walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. She loved him because he first loved her. And I pray that we here in this room here this morning would recognize, realize, acknowledge the gravity of our sin situation. Sin's forgiveness, while freely offered to us, came at a great cost to Jesus. The burden, the debt of sin could only be lifted off of us because Jesus Christ took it upon himself. 1 Peter 2:24 says he bore our sins in his own body on that tree that we, having died to sins, might live now for righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Ephesians 1:7 tells us, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Acts 26:18 says to open the eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. We are actually washed of our sin, all of it, through faith in Jesus. And that leads us to our last feature this morning, the wash she received. The wash she received. Look at verses 47 through 50 now. Jesus speaking, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now clearly, Jesus here says that those who are washed of great and public sin will be most grateful. I don't know, what is the dirtiest you've ever been? And I'm talking physical filth, okay? What's the dirtiest you've ever been? Perhaps you've labored long and hard on a blistering hot summer day. You've sweat It dried. It caused the dirt and the dust to stick and cling to you. You're tired. You stink. Have you been there? I take a shower every day, but never have I looked forward to a shower, and never have I been more grateful for the modern technology of a shower, running water in my home, than after a day like that. Agreed? It is refreshing. It's energizing. It's joyous. It's happy. It's a beautiful thing. That's what Jesus is offering here. It's what he's saying here. However, it's Jesus that is chosen. He's chosen to wash us from the filth and grime of a life's labor in sin. He chose to do that. He chose to wash us with his blood. Not in a running tap, obviously, but he paid our burden. He took our burden. He washed our sins away through his death on the cross. And we might ask, why? Why would Jesus do that for us? Well, our passage implies the answer. Number one, it's because Jesus is good. He is good. He is lovingly good. And Psalm 107:1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." And that means he's still good today. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is good, but listen to what he said. This is from Mark chapter 10, verse 18. He says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God." Well, not only does Jesus forgive sin because he's good, but he can forgive sin because he is God. He is God. The reason those present at this banquet question Jesus and who he thinks he is to forgive sin is because Scripture tells us that only God can do it. Only God can forgive sin. And they didn't know, save this woman, that he was him. And Jesus forgiving this woman's sin implies that he is God. And one other thing that's implied in our passage, one other reason Jesus forgives sin is because Jesus is gracious. He is gracious. Grace is the receiving of a reward that we do not deserve. It is favor showered. See what I did there? Showered upon us, even though we have done nothing to earn it. This gracious salvation from the dirt of sin is gracious. This gracious forgiveness, it's graciously offered to everyone, and it's received through simple faith in him. Jesus said, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Faith is simply trusting in God's promises. It's believing him. This woman did. When did she believe? I actually think it was before her arrival at this dinner. I think it was. I think she had heard Jesus speak about the rest that he offered from the weight of sin, and she received it, and she's now here expressing her gratitude and love to the one who saved her from that debt. Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin, This is what we deserve. The wages of sin, the payment for sin, is death. That's what we earn with sin. But it continues and says that the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 16, 31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." This woman did. Have you? Will you? In closing this morning, Scripture tells us that God is a perfect God. He is perfect in all of His attributes. He is perfectly good. He is perfectly loving. He is also perfectly just. We also learn, we don't even have to look into Scriptures to know this one, but it tells us anyway, we are imperfect. We are imperfect. We have sinned. We have made mistakes. We have done wrong and hurtful things. We end up in places sometimes where we might wonder, how in the world did my life get here? And therefore, in our sin, with that burden on us, we are imperfect people disqualified from a relationship with a perfect God. Disqualified from His perfect dwelling place. And there is nothing that we can do within ourselves to rectify that problem. We have buyer's remorse, and that is a problem. But God gave His Son, Jesus. Jesus lived a sinful life so that He could take our sins upon Himself and pay that penalty of death that we deserve for sin so that we would not have to pay it. And then He rose from the dead to prove not only who He was, the God of life, but also to prove that He could give us life as well. And that gift was received through faith in Him. Believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord, who died for my sins. He paid it all. Rather than denying our sin problem, rather than demanding forgiveness and thinking we deserve it for some reason, we humbly recognize and acknowledge our need for a Savior, our need for Jesus, and we trust in Him and Him alone. Not in some ceremonies, not in some traditions, not in our own good works, not in our own good words, but in Jesus and His work only. In fact, Jesus in John 14:6 said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." Acts 4:12 says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Will you trust in Jesus? He did this for you. He did this for you. Will you trust in Him, yes or no? If the answer is yes, if that is you today, if you have never placed your faith in Christ before, if you have never sought His forgiveness before, if you are willing to trust and rest fully in Him as this woman did, I'm going to ask you, as this woman did, will you right now bend low to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you bow your head? If that's you this morning, You've never placed your faith in Christ before, and you want to do that right now. Will you bow like this woman did? Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for those that may have made a decision in their heart this morning. I pray, Lord, that as they contemplate what you have given them, maybe it is a great weight of sin that has been forgiven this morning. But I pray, Lord, that those that have done that, that right now in their own heart, that they would thank him. Thank him for what he's done. Thank him right now. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. And Father, I thank you this morning for the account of this woman and her proper way of seeking forgiveness and what that amounted to. And I thank you for that in our lives as well, that we at one point in time took the opportunity in humility to recognize, acknowledge our weight of sin, and we came to you to have that burden lifted. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go ahead and stand with us one last time.